that introduction, I'm pleased to invite Steve to speak to us about angels, saints and priests.
Thank you very much and good morning to you all. So, oh, that's nice. Good morning. Ah, it's that kind of an ecclesia, I see. The last few words that we've just read in 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that these teachings about the resurrection are there really to encourage us. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Therefore, because of the things that we've just read about, we should be strengthened. We should be readying ourselves. We should be prepared. Now, the Proverbs tell us, don't they, famously, without a vision, the people perish. And in a similar passage to the passage that we've just read in 1 Corinthians, in the book of Thessalonians, in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, he says that we should comfort one another with these words. And these words he's referring to are words about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and the establishment of a kingdom here on earth, ruled over by the Lord Jesus Christ and peopled not by men and women like you and me who are susceptible to sin, who are susceptible to wandering away from God's principles and as a consequence are mortal, but rather a kingdom eventually peopled by immortal people termed in Scripture the saints. The word saints is one that's been sort of twisted around a little bit by certain churches and gives the impression that they're people that have been specially selected because of wonderful things that they may have done. But that's not really the scriptural sense of the word saints. The scriptural sense of the word saints are those people who, by God's grace, have the opportunity of playing their part in the reconstruction of the world such that it reflects God's glory, and ultimately, as they go through that process, being privileged to be part of the kingdom that will be established. Now, if we're to comfort one another with these words, if we're to have a strong vision, thus ensuring that we don't perish, what we really need to do is to search our scriptures to see if we can work out what exactly will we be like if we are privileged, if we are by God's grace given our place in the kingdom of God. What will we be like? What will be the nature, the form, the role, the function of the saints in the kingdom of God? Now, we've just seen that there certainly will be some form of a change. If you just look back again to 1 Corinthians 15, and we have a quick look at verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And elsewhere in Scripture, Paul makes it very clear. It's not just the dead in Christ that will be raised. It will also be those of us who are alive when Christ returns. We also will be able to be involved. But notice that there is this emphasis on a change in our nature, which will come at that point. Just go back into the Old Testament, if you will, and look at the book of Isaiah in chapter 40. So if we go back to chapter 40 of the book of Isaiah, full of prophecies, which when we read them correctly in their context, we realise that they also are telling us something about the coming kingdom of God. And look how the inhabitants of that kingdom are described here in Isaiah chapter 40 in verse 29 to the end of the chapter. So Isaiah 40 verse 29, he giveth power to the faint and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall, in the future, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So that's the transformation, isn't it? There's a description of what the saints will be like in that time to come, once that transformation that Paul talks about to the Corinthians has taken place. And then go back into the New Testament and we'll have a look at the book of Philippians and see what Paul says to the to the Philippians there in the New Testament. Here we want chapter 3. And we want to have a look at verse 20. So Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we wait for a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. Well, the Revised Version has that, the body of our humiliation, our current mortal bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So we've had a few hints already now, haven't we, of the nature of the saints in the kingdom of God. We've had those hints that there's going to be a transformation. We've had those hints that there's going to be an end to the weariness of the flesh that's described in Isaiah 40. And here we've got another hint. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his. That's the Lord Jesus Christ's glorious body. So we've got a hint now, haven't we? What are we going to be like in the kingdom of God? Well, we're going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And not the Lord Jesus Christ before his ascension, before his crucifixion, sorry, but rather the resurrected Christ. So if we knew something about the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, we'd know something about how we will be when we get to the kingdom. And that, hopefully, makes that promise even more real. A couple more hints before we get into it. So turn over a few more pages and look at John's first letter. So 1 John, and we're going to just look at chapter 3 for what I think is probably one of our strongest hints of all. So 1 John chapter 3, and we want verses 1 and 2. John's tackling the issue head on here. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. So we're not entirely sure, John seems to be telling us. Well, John's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so it's not that he didn't know. It's not that the Holy Spirit doesn't know, but there are some things that we are asked to work out, and there's some things that we don't know, but there's some hints that we're going to be given, and the big hint is here. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, speaking again of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be like him. So we know one thing for sure now, that the saints in the kingdom will be like the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ himself who gives us another hint. So turn back now to one of the Gospels. We're going to look at Matthew in chapter 22. So this is in the midst of a discussion taking place between the Lord Jesus Christ and some of the people who were listening to him and debating with him the scriptures. And although the argument itself is not something that needs to trouble us right now, one of the things that Jesus says in response is really pertinent to our discussion. They're talking about the resurrection, the time after the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and the resurrection of the saints. And he says in verse 30, in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. So now we've got another hint. We know that the saints will be like the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been told that by John. And now we're being told that they'll also be like the angels in heaven. So it follows, doesn't it, that if we were to pool our knowledge, of which it will be considerable, no doubt, if we were to pull our knowledge on the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ in the resurrection and the nature of the angels, we would be able to put together a pretty thorough picture of what the saints will be like in the kingdom. So that's what we're going to do. That's what the whiteboard's for. This is where you guys start working, and I can hopefully relax a little bit, providing I get my handwriting right. So what I want you to do is just briefly, for a couple of minutes, can you think of everything we know about the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ after the resurrection. Okay. So the Lord Jesus Christ before the resurrection, before his death and resurrection, was a man like we are. So we're interested in how he was after the resurrection. And I'd like you to come up with anything that you can remember about him, but I'd also like you to make sure that you can back that up with a verse. Okay? Because I'm an English teacher, and the thing with English teachers is we always expect evidence from the text. If there's no evidence from the text, it doesn't count. So you've got 2 minutes. Everything you can remember, make sure you've got a verse to back it up.